start in the first chapter, the first verse. Sister Betty was just telling me that Sister Carter is here with her children. I didn't see her, but she's here somewhere. Oh, yeah, here she is right here. I was certainly glad to have her here with her little ones. She comes all the way up from Florida to be with us. You know, we really appreciate this, sister. Betty was telling me how that here quite a long while ago that she came to visit with her, and she was telling Betty how unspiritual that she was and how spiritual the others were, you know. And Betty said in the conversation with her and talking to the others that she perceived that she was more dedicated and that there was more real sincerity in her testimony than there was in some of the others. So you never can tell, you know. They used to have a little saying that all that glitters is not gold. And then sometimes you find something that glitters. It is gold, but it's fool's gold. The book of Joel, chapter 1, the first verse. I'd like to say I'm grateful for all of our visitors. Say this just before we read. We're looking forward to camp meeting. Some of them are coming in for camp meeting now. Friday our camp meeting starts. And I believe that Brother Walden is starting his camp meeting. Also, I think Brother Red is starting his camp meeting. I understand that Jimmy Swaggart in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is starting his camp meeting. And Brother Eugene, is it, down in Augusta, starting his camp meeting. And I never know them to do this before, right at this time of the season. But it seems that all of a sudden that numbers of them are starting their camp meeting. And I trust that God will give them a real blessing and a real harvest and also bless us here. We've had a regular standing thing for quite a while, having our camp meeting. And the Lord has blessed us every year about this time. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell you their children, and their children another generation. That which the pommel worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made wine. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, all ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Girt yourself and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under the clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them and behind them. A flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine, and all, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beast of the fields, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth the fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield her strength. Be glad when then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. For behold, in those days, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whether you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. It shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. I read all of that, all of the book of Joel, because there's only three chapters to the book of Joel, and they're not very long. But I'd like to refer back to the 13th verse here and one or two following verses. The Lord is saying that the ministers should call upon the name of the Lord, that they should seek the Lord, is also saying that the meat is cut off from the house. The seed is rotten under the clod. You know, when we think of meat, we think of natural meat. Whereas the Bible uses the terms that there might be meat in my house. And it uses the terms that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then God speaks of a spiritual meat. Israel was a natural Jew that sought after a natural substance that was promised a natural inheritance if they would naturally overcome their natural enemy. Whereas all of that was symbolic and typical according to Paul, who received the revelation, saying that there was a spiritual Jew who must have a spiritual battle, take on a spiritual perseverance, and overcome spiritually, that they might receive a spiritual inheritance and have a spiritual reward. So then here it says that the meat is cut off from the house of the Lord. It speaks of the seed, and when we speak of the seed, we speak of the word of the Lord, in that Jesus said the seed typified that which the sower went forth to sow. And he called the tares the work of the enemy. He said that the seed has rotten under its clod. Now you say, Brother Pike, I can't picture the word of God rottening. But the Bible says that they have changed the truth of God into a lie. They perverted the word. And it goes on to say, under the clod, which indicates that we who are made out of the dust of the earth are the ones that receive the sowing. It goes on to say that the corn is withered. That is, there's no fruits that is brought forth from the people. The barns are broken down, whereas the Bible refers to us as being God's building, gathering the wheat into the garners, but it says they're all broken down, and it goes on to say that the pastures are desolate, there's no grazing ground for the flock, there's a famine in that there is no spiritual grazing ground, whereas when we think of a pastor and we think of grazing ground, we think of grass. But the Bible speaks of flesh, saying that all flesh is as grass. Therefore, God speaks of flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That means that there should be a people in the earth that is before God that should be a good pasture or a grazing ground for those that are searching and looking when they come into their midst. Also should be shepherds. But he said it's all burnt up and it's like a wilderness. He speaks of this divine language. Where the Bible said our vine hath tender grapes and the little foxes, speaking of the things that we allow. He said that the little foxes spoil our vines. We fail to bring forth fruit under perfection. And he goes on to say here that all of this has to do with the judgment of God. And he speaks of it as bringing, as we say, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. I believe that if there should be anything tonight that would stand out in your mind or in my mind at this hour, it should be the thoughts concerning the day of the Lord. Because he goes on to say here, that is Joel the prophet, he says that the day of the Lord is near, or the day of the Lord is at hand. You know, somebody would say, but I believe that, Brother Pike. But it's evident that many people do not believe that. You say, how do you know that they do not believe that? Because the Bible tells me that a child is known by his doings. And their doings indicate that they do not believe that. The way that they're doing proves to me that they do not believe
what the prophet has said. Oh, foolish people, the writer said. Oh, foolish. Fools, he called them. Slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. Here Joel is speaking of the prophet. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, met them, walking with them on the way to Emmaus, expounded these things that we're speaking of here, and they couldn't perceive. Jesus said, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now then, the same Spirit today, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same Spirit today referring us back to that same thing in that day, back to the same prophecy and the same words that we're speaking here through the mouth of Joel. The same Spirit today is saying, people, why are you so slow in your heart to believe? Why is it that we're so slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? For it says here, the day of the Lord is at hand. This is a terrible hour. We know that even scientists is telling us that by 82, everything is fixing to go into a convulsion. It's obvious that Joel is pointing to some of these things, because Joel speaks of the latter days, saying that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon people. Now I want you to notice this. People, that is the church world, will accept the words of Joel when it comes to the Spirit of God being poured out. Isn't that right? Almost any Pentecostal evangelist especially, they'll go from coast to coast preaching. Prophesy, they'll say. This is the time of the latter rain, they'll say. God is pouring out of His Spirit, they'll say, on the handmaids, on the men, on all of them. They'll say, this is the hour of revival. God is pouring out of His Spirit. You say, but where did you get that? They say that's what Joel said would happen in the last days. But why is it that Joel made statements like this in the same passages of Scripture? That in the latter time there would be pillars of smoke. That the moon would turn to blood. That all of these things would take place. That the great, mighty judgment of God would begin to fall. Why is it that they don't preach that? Why is it that they don't believe that? That's what Jesus meant. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, it's convenient to believe what you want to believe. Isn't that right? If you want to eat, drink, and be merry, if you want to have a ministry and do what you want to do and have the people follow you accordingly, it's so easy to blind the people and tell the people what you want them to know and what you want them to believe. But brother, one day we'll stand in the presence of the Almighty God and we'll answer to God for those things. We must preach the gospel. Paul said, I have not failed or shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. If we do not declare unto you all that the prophets have spoken, how can you believe it? Because the Bible said you are fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. If the ministers do not declare unto you all of the counsel of God, all that the prophets have spoken, how then will you believe? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said, ye priest of the Lord, ye priest of the Lord. Who is the priest of the Lord? The Bible said, ye priest of the Lord. Isn't that right? Ye ministers, it said. Ye are the priest of the Lord. That's what it calls them in the book of Joel. Ye priest of God, ye ministers. He said, you're the ones that's supposed to be praying. You're the ones that's supposed to be interceding. You're the ones that's supposed to be calling on God. You're supposed to be instructing the people. But does the people believe? Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The people believe what they want to believe. Some of it is the fault of the ministers in that the ministers have not told them. In many cases, ministers have not told them all that the Lord has spoken. But there's one consolation, and that is God will send somebody to tell them the truth. God still has in the world today ministers. He still has the priesthood today. And they're still declaring the gospel today. And they're still telling the truth today. And they still believe the truth today. They're still telling the truth. They're not shunning to declare the full counsel of God. And I'm glad today that my heart is clear in the sight of God, because I want to declare the full counsel of God. It is my delight, my uttermost determination to declare unto you the full counsel of the Almighty God. I love to declare the word of God. I want to tell you the truth. Joel said that this would be a sad time. Sister Frances was talking about the condition of her mother. She was very grieved. I said, Sister Frances, this is the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of sorrows. Look around you. It's the beginning of sorrows. Look at the oppression. Look how the devil has teamwork in the world. All of the carnal mind is working against the church. It's obvious that the devil will jump on one of your children, cause one of your children to do some little misdemeanor or something out here in the world. Then the devil will jump on the law, cause the law to get them. Then the devil will cause you to have to go get a lawyer. Then you'll have to give the lawyer the money. All of it goes back to the very same devil that caused the child to do the wrong, that caused the police to do what they done, to get the lawyer to take the money, to get them all working together in their carnal mind for one purpose, and that's to rob the church, to rob the people, and to wear out the saints of God, to try to tear down the church and to work together to destroy the kingdom of God in the earth. We're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. We know what the devil is doing. But brothers and sisters, we're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to pray. We don't have any defense except in God. This is one thing I wish that the youth here could learn. You young girls need to learn that. You young boys need to learn that. Not only that, but the men and women of little Bethlehem need to understand that they have one defense, and that is Christ. If you are not going on with God, if you're not living for God, my brother, sister, the devil's going to get you down the road. That's why the Bible tells us to watch and to pray. You can watch all you want to, but if you don't pray, the devil's going to get you. And you can pray all you want to, but if you don't watch, the devil's going to get you. You've got to watch and you've got to pray. You've got to have a determination to do something for God. And you half-hearted people that you don't want to live for God to start with. You don't have any holiness to start with. You don't have any spirit of God to start with. You've never had a real experience in God to start with. You can't expect to get to heaven. Just because you've been in church all these years, been around religion, that don't mean that you've got anything, folks. I could go to church all of my life and be around the gospel and still not have anything. It doesn't mean anything in going to church and being around religion. You've got to be born again. Jesus said, "Lest a man be born again, he shall not even see the kingdom of God. Only the pure in heart shall see God." If you don't have a new experience in life, you're never even going to see God. You've got to be born again to even be able to see God. It takes a real birth, a real born again experience. It takes being filled with the Holy Ghost, having God's Spirit on the inside of you. If you ever even expect to see the kingdom of God, you can't even see the kingdom of God if you don't get born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you get born again, brother, you not only will see the kingdom of God, but you'll see all the devils and the demons and evil spiritual forces that's attacking the kingdom of God. And all of those things is trying to overthrow the kingdom of God too. You'll be able to see that. And you'll know what's going on in the world. Some people don't even know what's going on in the world. They don't even have enough God to be spiritual enough to even know what's going on. They're so carnal, if you talk to them about a revelation, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. You say, Brother Pike, is there such people in our day? It's a true fact that Jesus spoke of revelation to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a leader in Israel. And he didn't even know what he was talking about. Somebody say, I love the Lord. He didn't even know what he was talking about. You've got to have the Spirit of God if you ever expect to understand anything spiritual. See, the Bible said that the things of God are spiritually discerned. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it's like this. I may never get spiritual revelation, but there's one thing about it. I've got the Word of God, and that's all that's important. My beloved friend, I want you to know one thing. The Bible said that these things were written as men were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were spiritually inspired to write these things. And the Bible teaches that they are of no private interpretation, but they are spiritually discerned. If you don't have spiritual discernment and the spirit of revelation, you're not even going to understand even the Word of God. You say, can you prove that? I certainly can prove that. Look at the hundreds of thousands of people today that hasn't even advanced enough in God to know that remission of sin is in the name of Jesus Christ. Millions of people, just as religious as they can be. Look at the powers of Rome. Look at the powers of the denominational world. Hundreds and millions of people. Preachers and whatever. Millions of dollars. All kind of churches and labors. People that are sincere missionary programs around the world. People that are daily active in God. But not even enough spiritual understanding and discernment to know that remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. Never having been baptized in the name of our lovely Lord. So then you see the need for God's Spirit. I hope that in this revival or this camp meeting, I hope that we, as the people of Bethlehem, if nobody else, I hope that we can get a spiritual awakening that will cause us to want to go into all the world with the gospel and preach it to every creature. I'm trusting that God will do something for the people of little Bethlehem. I've got one desire, one ambition that lives with me day and night. I repeat it to you over and over from the sacred desk. And that is my burning, driving zeal for God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm not in agreement just with preaching the gospel over the radio or over the television. I'm not in agreement with just preaching the gospel by the printed page. All of that's wonderful. I believe that we need it. I thank God for it. I'm not just in agreement in preaching the gospel in the churches here in the United States. I believe that we should go to the uttermost parts of the earth to preach the gospel. Africa and India and South America and other places around the world. People everywhere need the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe that unless you as an individual can get your eyes open to the extent that you see the need, not only of the people of Monroe or of Bethlehem or of your immediate locality, of your church or your town, wherever you're at, unless you can get your eyes open to see the need of those in the foreign field, those in the other churches, those in the other neighborhood, my brother, I just don't believe you've made that contact with God. Now, I'm just as honest as I can be. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's just certain people that's called for that and certain people it's not. I don't read any place in the Bible where that's true. I don't believe there's a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that wasn't missionary-minded, evangelistic-minded, godly-minded, and virtuous-minded. I believe everything down to his fingernails was full of virtue. Everything that pertains to the body of the Lord Jesus was filled with, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that if you've got the Spirit of Christ in you, that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That when Jesus Christ walked the sandy shores of Galilee, that Spirit was crying out, that God Spirit, go, Son, into all the world with the gospel. And that same Spirit today, if it's in you, then if you're born again, it's in you. If you have not that Spirit, you're none of His. But if that Spirit is in you, it's crying out today, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That Spirit cries out in me day and night. I never grow weary of it. I never grow tired of it. I grow weary in my body a lot of times. I grow tired in my body a lot of times. Sometimes daylight might catch me on my knees and I might be a little bit weary. But I want you to know there's one thing I never grow weary in, beloved friend, and that is well-doing. The Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. I never find an hour or a time or a moment that I'm disappointed in God. I never see a moment when I am weary of well-doing. I can't say that I've done a lot, but what little I have done. After that I've done all that I can do, I still have a drive and a burning desire to do something for God as though I haven't done anything. And really, in reality, I don't feel like I've done very much. I'm sure that many of you have. Perhaps you've done a lot more than I have, and perhaps more than others. But I myself have failed to do what I feel that I should do for God. But I'm still happy. I'm still praising God, still praying, seeking God, still asking God to stir me and awaken me and help me to stir someone else, hallelujah, in the things of God, that they might be awakened and that they might see the need of the ministry and the wonderful, wonderful call of world evangelism. I noticed Brother Fontaine today. He came down and brought his trumpet. A few nights ago, this trumpet was involved as we left the church going down to the house. It was brought to us, and it had to do with a real spiritual significance. And I watched today as he came to the door, and I thought, now, Brother Fontaine wants to give me that trumpet today. And in he came, and here come that trumpet called the blessing. David Paul got it out and he began to blow on it and blow on it and blow on it. You know, this morning when we got ready to leave, Brother Richard Stafford, he came over and he was working on the trucks and he was singing that song, Jesus is not here, he's risen from the dead. Death is conquered. Death is conquered. And while he was singing, the Holy Ghost came on me. I stood there and I thought, oh dear God, the people of the world today, they don't understand, they don't realize that in all reality, that at this moment, not only has death been conquered back at Calvary, but this is the hour and the moment that it is being recognized. This is the hour and the moment that it's becoming the inheritance of the saints. And this is the hour and the moment when the benefits of it is beginning to be given to those that can believe and those that can receive. No wonder Jesus used the terms fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. No wonder he upbraided them when he walked along the road to Emmaus. Jesus, having resurrected from the dead, stood in their midst and walked along the road to Emmaus. Here they talked with each other, and one saying to another, did not our hearts burn within us? As he opened the scriptures to us, by the way. That is, as the revelation spake to us, as the unveiling came, as the spiritual discernment, as the unveiled word came into our hearts, did not our souls and hearts burn like fire on the inside as we seen and understood those things that even the prophets and wise men of old had longed to understand and had not understood. Many wise men, many great men, many prophets have desired to see these things that you have seen, and they've not been able to see them. But we're seeing them today. And Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And here they walked with Jesus. And the Bible said he appeared unto them in another form. And they didn't recognize him because he had resurrected from the dead. And there he was in their midst. And he opened the scriptures to them. Paul, as Paul walked in their midst, there he was again. Christ and Paul. Appearing to him in another form. For Paul said, it pleased God that from my mother's womb that Christ should be revealed in my life. For this cause, for this purpose, I came into the world. And there he was in another form in the midst of them. Christ walking in the midst of them as Paul the apostle. You say, Brother Pike, that wasn't Christ. Then I ask you this question. Why was it that Paul, being the one that established the seven churches, why was it that when Jesus was seen, he was seen in the midst of the seven churches? Why was that? Because it was Christ and Paul tabernacling in that body. Who is Christ? Christ is the spirit of revelation. That's who he is, my brother. That's who he is. In the beginning was the spirit. Somebody says in the beginning was the word. That's true. In the beginning was the word. But what was before the beginning? What was before the beginning? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I believe in the spoken word. That's good, because that was in the beginning. But I'm talking about before the beginning. Now you say, now, Brother Pike, let's don't get eccentric. What do you mean before the beginning? You know, if some psychiatrist evaluated me, he'd say, now see right there, son, you've done gotten beside yourself. You need help. You know, while I wasn't looking. I still say, what about before the beginning? Or other world was. I am, I was, forever I shall be. Amen. Without beginning, without end, he said. Wait a minute now, what did you say? Wait now, what did you say? Without beginning of days. We said in the beginning, but I said before the beginning. Oh, now before the beginning, it said, and he was without beginning. He was without beginning. He was without beginning of days. Isn't that right? How do you understand what we're saying? Hallelujah. You know, the world loves to change the word of God, don't they? All these brilliant minds of today, these educated philosophers of today, they feel that they know what they're doing and they love to change the word of God. You know, I know since of late they've got a new thing, and now they're, you know, they say Jesus didn't get the nails in the hands, he got it here. He got it in the arms, you know, he got it here. You understand what I'm saying? When they nailed him to the cross, they've proven now that he was nailed here in his wrist. Now, the reason they say that is because they felt like it wouldn't hold here. It would tear through. Of course, I know they get that from the pigs. He said, how do you know that? Because when I was a little country boy, that's what we done the hogs. We're afraid to tear through any other way, so we put it down there. So I know that comes from the pigs, living with the pigs. That's what Jesus said, to go back to their wallowing in the mire. Now, you say, Brother Pike, how do you know that they're not right? Because the Bible said, I have engraved thee in the palms of my hand, not in my wrist. But I have engraved thee in the palms of my hand that I might remember thee. And the Bible said he showed them his hands and his feet. I didn't say nothing about showing them his wrist. I think the people of that day had enough sense to know if it had been his wrist, and it said he showed him his wrist. It said that he showed him his side. So then, what we need to do is say, Lord, help us to believe the word. Give us a spiritual discernment. And give us the spirit of revelation and keep us away from the philosophers of today. Amen. The cunning things of Satan out yonder, what are they trying to do? They're trying to do away with the Bible. Beloved friend, if they can prove that part wrong, they can prove another part wrong. And if they can prove some of it wrong, they'll say, ah, well, if that wasn't right, how can you trust in the rest of it? And it's Satan's cunning way to show fallacy in the Word of God and in the Bible to change the situation to where they can do away with God's Word. But I still believe in God's Word. Amen. The Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us as He expounded to us by the way the Word of God and opened our understanding. And He appeared to him in another form. And there he was in the midst of the candlesticks. Why? Because he was in the life of Paul. Brother, sister, today he's in your life. He's in your life. The Bible said in times past he's spoken unto us by the prophets. He's spoken unto us by the law. But hath in this latter time spoken unto us by the membership of his body or by his son Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Such are they that are of the church. So then today, when you go to testify, when you go to tell somebody about Jesus, when you go to speak to your relatives, when you go to speak to those people that you meet out there, just remember it's Christ in another form. And he's in the midst of them. And he's speaking to them. They may not recognize it, but as John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, hallelujah, God, the great spiritual God of heaven and of earth, engraved us in the palms of his hand that he might never forget us. And you're in another form. He's testifying. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why? Why should we believe it? Why are we slow of heart to believe? One reason. The day of the Lord is at hand. It's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is at hand. Joel said, and these things shall be at the time of the day of the Lord. And there shall be fire. There shall be. And the sun shall be turned into darkness. And the moon into blood. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And there shall be pillars of smoke in the earth. All of these things have happened. While before they started dropping those atomic bombs, there never was no such things as pillars of smoke in the earth like that. But great, great billowing pillars of smoke have come up in the ocean in different places. He said there would be, because that was one of the signs of the end. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? The Bible said that the elements being on fire. When you talk about the atomic powers, you're talking about the elements. Jesus said, when you see these pillars of smoke, brother, you know they've done tapped onto the elements. They're already messing with nature. And they've got their hands in the elements. And that's a destructive means that will destroy everybody. And you'll recognize the hour and the day by the pillars of smoke. At that hour you see it, you know that they've advanced to that degree. No, my brother and sister, it's happening. Earthquakes in diverse places. Never before in the history of mankind. Never has there been earthquakes like there is now. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we've always had earthquakes. We've never had earthquakes like there have been in the last few years. Never. There's no record of it, no history of it. Never before. Why is it? Because the earth is cracked all to pieces. Even the maps that I keep referring to that we have down at the house, down underneath the ocean, on the ocean bed, I've got maps of all the great bodies of water, the Atlantic, the Pacific. And scientists have learned at the base of the ocean, of the water, the bed, all of them are literally cracked all to pieces like an egg. Everything is just ready to fall apart and crumble. The stars shall fall from heaven. The moon shall not give her light. What is it? The day of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, I wish we could get spiritual. I wish we could really see, and I wish we could really believe, because the time of his coming is at hand. This camp meeting really points to it. Oh my, what an hour, what a moment. But some will wait too late. Some will wait too late. I mentioned the scanner the other night that scans the hand for the mark of the beast. They've already got it. Everything points to this season being the winding up of things. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. The hour of his coming. Fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I believe. Do you believe? Canst thou believe? Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If you cannot believe, then there is nothing possible. For the Bible said, beware lest at his coming he find within you an evil heart of unbelief. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch was translated by faith. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. That is, that there is a God, and he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's no need in believing that you're going to be rewarded by God if you're not diligently seeking God. There's no need to believe it, because you'll believe a lie and be damned. But my brother, sister, if you're diligently seeking God, trying to find his will, trying to find his way, trying to be like Jesus, trying to understand, want the spiritual understanding of God, not loving the present world and the present things of this world, not caring for the frivolousness of the flesh or the convenience of this life, but having all of your heart in Christ, if you're like that, with all of your desire toward Christ, then you'll have faith. Then you can believe. Then you won't have an evil heart of unbelief. Then you're diligently seeking God. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're not diligently seeking him, there will be no rewards coming your way. But if you're diligently seeking God, you can look for a reward from God. You need to fast, you need to pray, you need to give, you need to visit, you need to help, you need to strengthen the hands of the weak, you need to testify, you need to live holy, clean, upright, do your very best to keep every jot and tittle of his desire and his way. As Jesus said, doing always the things that please the Father, because he's a rewarder of them that make that effort. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. But many times that we've come here to talk with you, someday is going to be the greatest treasure that you ever had. Though now it might not be to you, it might be a burden to you. But those that have received it, those that have believed it, someday your soul will say, my God, I'm so glad. But those that have not believed it, those that have not received it, someday your very inner soul is going to cry out, oh my God, oh my God, them words is burning me like coals of fire. Well, the Bible said that even the words that I speak, the same shall judge you in the last day. My brother, my sister, if you're not sober and serious-minded with Jesus, let's get right with God. Let's get right with God. There's people all over the world that's slipping. They're playing games with God. They're not living for Christ. They're not making any effort to be holy. And they're not diligently seeking nor searching after Christ. It's just a big game with them. But there's a lake of fire that's waiting. And at any moment, they may slip into it, because there's only one tiny, frivolous breath of life between you and eternity. One
one little heartbeat. And in the day that we're living in, the Bible teaches that the pressures will be so great that even the heart of young men shall fail them. Young men shall die with heart attacks. That in the latter times, see, there's only one tiny heartbeat. One tiny heartbeat, that's all. And though you perhaps would not confess it to me or acknowledge it, but there's numbers of you standing here, young and old alike. If you would acknowledge the truth in your lifetime, during your lifetime, and some of you not too far back, maybe even today, you've had problems with your heart. Not only spiritual problems. You know, you see so much heart trouble today, it's typical of the spiritual heart problem of people today. Everything has to have a natural parallel. Science wants to get rid of the heart condition. I tell you how to do it. Get rid of the spiritual heart condition. I'll guarantee you the types and shadows will change. God will give sound hearts. And the Bible said a sound heart is the health of the body. All of the body will get well. Your doctors can retire. Throw your medicines in the ocean. He brought them out of Egypt. Wasn't one sick among them. Didn't need no doctors or nothing else. But if you look back today, you'll find out that some of you have had heart problems today. A little smothering, this hot weather. I believe they say there's 60 or more in Texas that's died already. 74, it's went up again. 74. 90, gone up again, it's 90. Started with about 10, 12, I believe. Going up to 90. See, what is it? Just think, if 90 people died because of that, and scientists making the predictions that they're making for 82, and Joel speaking the way that he's speaking concerning the end time, that the sun will become exceedingly hot, and literally scorch them that dwell on the earth. That they'll curse and blaspheme. And scientists says that this will happen in the year of 82. There's one thing about it. We need to do something, whether it's going to happen or not. The Bible says it's going to happen someday. And I believe the Bible. Scientists never has believed the Bible. Other people in the intellectual worlds, as a rule, never have believed the Bible. But now, the way that everything is adding up, they can't do anything but believe the Bible. The Bible teaches that in the last days, the scriptures shall speak and not lie. That they will declare themselves in such a way that they cannot be denied. So then I would say the thing to do is to get right with God. If you're not right with God, now's the time to get right. Don't wait. Let's do something for Jesus. You that keep putting it off, that's your business. All of you that want to do something for God, let's join hands together. Let's pray together. Let's labor together so that we might reap together. If you work against me, if you talk against me, if you cause division, if you cause interruption, if you weaken the faith of the people by tearing down their faith, if you discourage the hearts of the people toward my drive for God, God will cut you off and tear you up. Some of them that went into the land of Canaan, they came back talking about the giant of opposition that they run into, the problems. God got so angry, he swore in his wrath. Said, you'll never go into the Canaan land. You've dwarfed me and my ability in the eyes of the people. And you've minimized me in their eyes. And you've caused their faith to be dwarfed in the almighty, unlimited ability of God. Because of your discouraging reports. Old Joshua told him, when them people started discouraging him, he said, don't you believe a word of it. God's able to do it. Caleb said, amen, the doctrine's just that way. And the Bible said God looked down and said, there's a different spirit in Joshua and Caleb. Take them boys on into Canaan. There better be a different spirit in you folks. You better quit this little coffee break you got and your donut breakfast. Getting together and taking people apart and gossiping and tearing them down and mourning over yourself. And as they used to say, crying your tears in your coffee. Saying, woe is me, everybody's mistreated me. You know, if you just get your eyes open and say, oh my God, why have I been so blind? I've mistreated everybody. I wish God would make a good Christian out of me and I'd do something for somebody. That's what's wrong with you. You got an old morning self-pity devil hanging around your place. You need to boot him out. Get rid of him. Put him on his way. Say, now, Brother Pike, can you boot him out? That's what the Bible says. So they shall bruise his head. Use your boot on him. So be shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know, that's what you got to work on of the serpent. You got to work on his head. He does too much thinking. You find a fellow that's always thinking. If he ain't got the mind of Christ, you might as well start working on that fellow's head right off. Because he'll give you trouble. You find a man that does too much thinking in his head, and after a while you're going to find a forked tongue and a crooked trail. His tongue will be going like an old serpent all the time, and you'll look, and everywhere you look, he'll leave a crooked trail. He won't go straight. He won't deal straight. He won't be straight. He won't talk straight. He won't live straight because he don't think straight. So then, let's get right, folks. Shun the very appearance of evil in your thinking, in your thoughts. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus. And don't ever give yourself a chance to say it. Stop it before you ever think it. Then you'll be all right. As somebody, you know, a lot of times they preach, they want the preacher to get through, and they think, I wish he'd hurry and get through. You know, if all of y'all had quit your wrongs, the preacher would be through. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild storming deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached way down for me, I was lost
and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost, I was undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. You love Jesus. The Lord wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. And He can and He will. But for God to be able to do something for you, you gotta believe. You gotta believe. You know, I say that to you all the time. You gotta believe. You say, but do you believe, Brother Pike? I believe He's doing something for me every day. Financially, physically, spiritually. God makes my cup to run over. I believe. I'm always challenging God, always putting my faith out to challenge God in His greatness and His power. That pleases God well. Did you know that? Somebody said, I'm so afraid, Lord, if I put this talent I've got to the exchanges, I'm just so afraid You might not be in the program and You might let me fall through. And I just don't know, Lord. Oh, I'm so afraid. Oh, my brother, sister, don't be like that. God, much rather you try to do something. Step out by faith in God and say, glory to God, I believe. Live, die, sink, or swim. I'm going to try it anyway. That makes God happy. God loves to see people that believe. You know that? God wants you to exercise your faith. You know why some people don't exercise their faith? They are afraid it might create a little inconvenience in seeing the thing through. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, they say, Brother Pike, I'm so afraid I'll get out there a little ways and, you know, and it might not work, and it might just cause me to have to do a little something, you know, or I'll have to use a little perseverance, or it might put me in a you know, a place to where I'll have to, you know, a little inconvenience. So I guess I'll just stay over here and get by on my skimpy get by. But oh, glory to God, I feel like Peter. Jump overboard. I might go down, slap up to my head, but I believe God will catch me before I drown. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's do something for God. Let's wake up, folks. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? When He reach down His hand. You know, I had to reach a long ways to get me. Y'all don't know how far He had to reach to get me. When He reached way down for me, I was lost and